Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to this memorial service for Harold Dean Grimes, or as many of us knew him, Hal. We are here this afternoon to celebrate a life, to celebrate the life of Hal, who was a father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a brother, an uncle, and a friend. We're here also to reflect on who he was, to reflect on his life, the kind of person he was, and what he meant to us, and how we will miss him, but we are also here to receive comfort in our sorrow and grief. So let's take this moment then to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And I pray, Lord, that this service will honor Hal's memory. We humbly ask you now, Lord, to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us, Lord, to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace find comfort and peace. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a very popular scripture reference, Psalm 23, that people like to hear at funerals and memorial services, a favorite scripture passage of people for millennia, because in it, God is described as a shepherd. A shepherd would faithfully provide for the needs of his sheep. He would gently care for them, and he would protect them from all dangers. And likewise, then we, secure in God's care, we can release all of our heavy burdens to him and to find rest in his peace. We can rest knowing that he will provide for our needs, that he will refresh our souls, that he will direct us in the way we should go in life, and that he will faithfully carry us and comfort us even through the darkest times in our lives. He will pour out his love and his generous goodness on us. And by faith, we can have that great hope that we will dwell with him for all eternity. David says this of the Lord, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn number 493. You'll find hymnals in the racks and the chairs below you there. Hymn number 493, "It Is Well With My Soul."
We will be singing verses 1, 3, and 4. Would you like to stand up?
Gerald Grimes passed away at home last Thursday at age 92. And surviving him include his son, Russ, his brothers, Ed and Clifford, a sister, Ruth, his daughter-in-law, Susan, his grandchildren, Kurt and Catherine, and a niece, Lori. He was preceded in death by a sister, by his wife, Florence, and by his son, Doug. Hal had lived a very rich and full life. He had served in the Army, and like many of his generation, the greatest generation, he didn't like to talk about that, didn't like to draw that attention to himself. He was an artist, and he loved to paint and to work with wood. And going into his home, you may notice there were many paintings up on the wall, Western paintings there, and I walked in and saw all of those and thought, oh, those are nice paintings, and went up there, and, oh, what's that little HG down there at the bottom? Discovered that he had painted all of those as well then, as some other many fine things that he had been working with wood. So he loved to do that. So he loved painting. He especially loved painting those Western scenes. And speaking of Westerns, he loved Western television programs and movies. And of course, he liked both kinds of music, country and Western. He was a good cook as well. He cooked his own meals every day. And these were good meals too. These were not like the microwavable junk that I do. And he was not averse then too. Here's another thing that impressed me about him. He was not averse to new things, to new technology. In fact, I have to tell you, I was pretty impressed by his computer setup, with assistance from Kurt, of course. He loved his family, and he avidly pursued genealogical research. It's true, too, then, with his family, that he loved his wife, Florence. She passed about 21 years ago, but just even the mention of her name all of these years later would still bring a tear to his eye. And he especially loved his grandchildren, Kurt and Catherine. And I know his loss has affected them deeply. I think what I will remember about him most are this strong spirit. He had a very strong, independent spirit. But I will also remember his generosity. He had a very generous spirit as well. That strong, independent spirit he had, you know, even at his age, he liked to do as much for himself as he possibly could. He was even still mowing his own lawn last summer, and he would even try to shovel his own driveway in the winter. That generous heart that he had wanted him, or propelled him, to care for his family. When his son Doug became sick, he moved into the community and moved just down the street from Doug and Susan and the kids in order to be closer, to be able to better help them. Now, like many in his generation, he didn't like to talk about himself. And actually, if the truth be known, he really didn't want a memorial service for him either. But we're doing this for us, aren't we, today? And it's true, though, too, that he deserves to be honored. His life, his legacy deserve to be honored today. And he deserves to be remembered for the strong and generous man that he was. Now, I'd like to give an opportunity here for others to speak. I'm sure there's probably at least one of us here that would like to say something about him, how we will remember him. But I do have a request. This is being recorded. This service is being recorded because there are some from far away who are not able to be here, and they're going to be able to listen to it on the internet. Speaking of new technology, I think he would appreciate that. Even though he wouldn't appreciate the memorial service, I think he'd appreciate the technology here. So there are some who won't be able to be here today, and so we're recording for them, and this microphone will help others to be able to hear then what others have to say. So I'd like to take a moment here. Is there someone here who'd like to speak about how you will remember him? I know we've got one volunteer right here. Kurt?
I'll start. I'll start by reading something from his niece, Lori. She sent this to me over the weekend. So And this summarizes a lot of things about him. A tribute to my beloved Uncle Hal by Laurie Grimes Ballantyne. Harold Dean Grimes was my dad's older brother, lucky me. That made him my uncle. As a child, my first memory of him was a visit in 1961. He brought the family from Illinois on a vacation. This trip involved trips to the beach and the woods. Unfortunately, it was the only opportunity I ever got to spend time with my cousin Doug, as he never came west again and I never went east. And I was going through pictures this weekend, and we have a picture of that visit, which is pretty cool. I still remember the excitement of spending time with my faraway family. As children, my sisters and I always knew that if anything happened to our parents, Aunt Florence and Uncle Hal would be our guardians. Ordinarily, the thought of losing both your parents might have caused great anxiety in a child, but I never felt that way because we had the best possible people to love us, just in case. Over the years, Aunt Florence and Uncle Hal came to visit, never often enough and never long enough. On one of their visits when I was in high school, I had a friend ask me if I was originally from Chicago. Apparently, their influence caused me to acquire their Midwest accents. Sometimes I was quite proud of it, by the way. Whenever Uncle Hal came for a visit, he always hosted Uncle Hal's pizza party. This is where the entire family packed in my parents' house for a wonderful visit. When I heard Catherine was hosting a pizza party after dinner today, I was so thrilled because this is definitely in Uncle Hal's style. And we will be having pizza in his memory also, as well as will Cousin Terry and Aunt Ruth. Aunt Florence and Uncle Hal always remembered our birthdays and continued that tradition with our children, their grandnieces and nephews. We always got a card with a little something in it. Around the time Aunt Florence became ill, my oldest son, TJ, turned 16. She must have mailed his birthday card literally the day she got sick. She was so faithful like that. A few days later, he got a second card. When I asked Uncle Hal about this, he said he didn't know that she had already mailed one, but he didn't want my son to be forgotten. Even in the midst of what I could imagine was the worst time of his life, losing his beloved bride, he was thoughtful, caring, and generous. That was my Uncle Hal. My children were also blessed to know him over the years. I remember him teaching them to draw. I remember laughs and good times. His last visit to California was momentous. It was to be the last time all four Grimes siblings gathered together in one place. This trip was another example of his generosity as he paid for his sister Ruth to join them, knowing it probably wouldn't be within her budget. He took pictures of everyone on that trip. We all had to pose in front of the fireplace. When he got home, he printed out the pictures and sent each of us copies of the family photos. These are photos that we proudly display with fondness of this final trip. Probably my favorite memories of Uncle Hal would have to be our phone calls. Usually when he called my mom and dad, he was a man of few words. But when we talked, it could last an hour. My parents would ask me, "How'd you get him to talk?" And my secret was that I asked him a lot of questions. He loved to catch up on what my kids, my grandchildren, and I were doing. And he loved to answer my questions about Curtis and Catherine. He was so proud of these two. I could almost see him glowing through the phone as he talked about the time he spent with them. They were very blessed to have each other in such close proximity and in their daily lives. They truly were his joy and kept him young beyond his years. He shared with me the pain of having to watch his son, Doug, struggle with his health and having to bury a child. He shared his regrets of not having much time with his younger son, Russell, as he would have liked to. We laughed a lot. He had a great sense of humor, which must be a Grimes thing because so does my dad. He told me about his wonderful neighbors and their kids who would shovel the snow and brighten his day with cookies left on the doorstep. He would describe his wonderful garden and curse those wretched squirrels. The week of his 90th birthday, which was 2 years ago, the week of his 90th birthday, I called him a few days early. I asked him how it felt to be turning 90. He said he didn't know. He wasn't there yet. And we laughed. I shared with him about my son Nick's latest hobby, wood carving. Uncle Hal was thrilled to have another wood carver in the family. He told me he had an expensive set of tools that weren't used anymore, and he knew no one else in his family had any interest in them, and he said he wanted to ship them to my son. He was happy that they would go to good use. I knew my son would be so excited to have these and use these. Nick is a very sentimental person who treasures anything passed on to him from his ancestors. Uncle Hal only asked for pictures of anything you might carve. Well, a few days passed, and on the day of his 90th birthday arrived. I called him to wish a happy 90th birthday. He said, "You already called this week." I said, "Well, I had to make sure you made it to 90. And we had a good laugh. Now, since he was officially 90, I wasn't sure if he would remember about sending the tools, but 2 weeks later, a package arrived. Inside the package were his lovely tools. Also included in the box were two of Uncle Hal's wood carvings for my son, which are proudly displayed in his home. And the final enclosure was a handwritten note that said, "Never carve towards your body or else," and he had spilled red ink on the paper. This was a combination of his sense of humor and his practicality. One of Uncle Hal's greatest gifts to our family was his genealogical research. Between him and my dad, we have a vast knowledge of our Grimes-Morgan heritage. This is something that my son and I also share a passion for and feel very blessed that he had chronicled so much of our family history in photos and text. Between all the genealogy research, our fond memories of him, the beautiful art he created, and his love of the family, he will live on in and through us and our children for generations to come. I love you, Uncle Hal. I'll miss our talks. I will miss you. Until we meet again, love, your devoted niece, Lori. So that was nice. I'm thankful for the genealogy work that he did too, because I would have no clue where to start with any of that. And I'll be sure to keep that stuff around forever for sure. I appreciated how tech savvy he was, because that a lot of old people don't really.
Why did he look at me when he said a lot of old people?
Because you mentioned it first.
Okay.
Nothing personal. only in September, I think. So WonderWave stopped offering dial-up, so he stopped getting internet because he wanted the dial-up. He didn't want to pay for the high-speed stuff. He just wanted the basic stuff. So he didn't have internet for years. Well, he said, "I finally want internet," you know, around September. And so we decided to sign up for Frontier Internet, and we picked them, or he insisted on them because he has stock in them and they need all the business they can get. So that was the reasoning for that, and it was, the internet was good enough. It was slow, but he didn't notice. And I got him a new computer, and we got him up and running, and I'm glad we did that, because the past, since September, we've sent some emails back and forth. He sent me a cookie recipe, and then sent me a few more emails to revise it afterwards, because you know, needed to add more eggs or something. So that was great to have that. I'd go to his house after school a lot, and he'd watch after us when mom and dad weren't home for a while. I don't remember why. I remember spending lots of time at his house, and he was, you know, let us trash the house, you know, throw cards all over the place and just have fun. And he made food for us and watched TV, and he took Catherine and I to Wild West Town, just surprised us one day. He said, "Okay, we're getting in the car and going." And we ended up at Donnelly's Wild West in Union, and that was fun. So just, very generous and always loved us. So,
thank you, Kurt. Okay, someone else like to speak? Jim?
Well, I only knew your grandpa for 2 or 3 days, really, because he called me up to paint his house, and because of his eyesight, he said he probably wouldn't need it painted because he couldn't see if he needed it or not. And I had made some kind of a joke about, I said, "Maybe we'll just come in here and park for a couple of days and give me a check." But one thing I do know is how much he did love you guys, and how he wanted to do more. But because of his eyesight, and I know the tools you're talking about, because I had seen him thinking, "Boy, I wish I had those tools." But I just want you guys to know that he did love you, and especially the grandchildren, too. So he left a good legacy and good memories.
Thank you, Jim. Someone else? Ken? Or Barb?
I just wanted to say that I just appreciate the Grimes family so much. And this isn't, I didn't know Hal very well. I think I've met him a couple of times, but I just wanted to say that you know, there's so much been said about how generous he was and how loving he was, and I know that he's passed that down to his grandchildren, and I think that some of it rubbed off on Susan, too, because they have been the most, with Ken and I in our disabilities and the hard things that we've gone through, they just hardly missed an opportunity to come over and help us. And I remember Catherine wrapping Christmas presents one Christmas. It's hard to do, you know, when you don't have the ability to use your left hand, so Catherine didn't mind, and I just was just appreciated that so much, coming over every day, many times, twice a day, to feed our chickens and water our chickens, and Susan giving me rides to church when I couldn't drive because of my car accident, and Kurt coming over. He didn't mind being called, and sometimes at the last minute, I'd say, when I'd see him here on Sunday morning, I'd say, "Do you have time this afternoon? Could you come over and help us out? We got a problem with the computer." And so he didn't mind coming over, and I just wanted to say that when I was hearing all this about the love and generosity, it just reminded me so much of, I just had to think that he was passing that along down in the family because they've been so wonderful to us, and I didn't want to miss an opportunity to say so. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Okay. Well, continuing the theme of generosity here, and as Kurt spoke, as Barb just spoke, that is a very strong thing, a trait, characteristic that I saw in his life, and a trait that indeed I think has been passed down in the family. And he would take opportunities, every opportunity that came, to express that generosity. And in the scriptures, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time for all things. Says this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God." You know, there is a time for all things, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to laugh and a time to grieve. And it's at times like these that our hearts grieve. But it's nice to laugh along with it too, though, isn't it? But our hearts grieve because we are sorrowful for this loss. But it is a time for even joy and celebration, though, as we remember Hal's life and we reflect upon his legacy. There is an old Hebrew proverb that says, "Say not in grief, he is no more, but live in thankfulness that he was." And that is what I would challenge all of us to do today, is to live in gratitude, thankfulness that he was, for his life, for that generosity of spirit, that legacy that he leaves, a legacy that we see being carried on in the family now. We can find comfort, too, in those cherished memories of him, and he will remain with us in our hearts and in our thoughts. But because life is short now, Hal was 92 years old That is a good long life, but even 92 years, how quickly that goes by, doesn't it? Life is indeed short, and none of us knows when our time on this earth will be through. And I think it is at times like this that can cause us to take this opportunity to reflect upon life, upon the meaning and purpose of life. You know, in the scriptures, the word tells us that the ultimate meaning and purpose of life is that we might know God and have the hope of eternal life in Him through His Son, Jesus. This is also a time then that we can make commitments to endeavor to make the most of the time that we have. You know, in the passage that we just read there, it said God has set eternity in our hearts, but that men cannot know what God has done from beginning to end. That's a way of saying that God has put within us a desire to transcend this mortal life. We have a yearning for the eternal, and yet there is so much that is mysterious to us and that must be apprehended by faith. But it's at times like this, then, that we can endeavor, then, to make the most of the time that we have. Make the most of our time by using our gifts and our abilities to the fullest. As I think about Hal in his life, I think that was a man who used his gifts and his abilities to the fullest. Another way that we can make the most of our time is by serving people. And again, as I think about Hal in his life, there was a man who served people. And then we can make the most of our time by loving people. That we certainly see too in Hal's life, that he was one who loved people, loved his family. And I know he even loved some neighbors as well who were very good to him, especially those neighbors' children. He really loved them too. We can also make the most of our time then by loving God, because this ultimately is, I believe, the chief end of us, is to know Him. But let us then resolve then, in looking at Hal and his example then, that we will make the most of our lives by loving one another and fulfilling the purposes for which we were made. This is also a time then too when we can bring comfort to one another. We come together here this afternoon as friends and families in order to support one another and to encourage one another. So let us then resolve to love one another, to comfort one another, encourage one another. But I would also remind us, though, too, that the ultimate comfort is to be found and can be found from God Himself, our Maker. There are a couple of passages of scriptures that I always like to share with grieving people, and I know that's meant a lot to me over the years. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where there Peter was a fisherman before Jesus called him to follow him. And many years later now, Peter has been serving Christ as a leader in the early church. And he was writing to other believers in those early days who were facing severe persecution, stress, and anxiety. And he said to them, "Cast all of your cares upon Him, upon God, because He cares for you." And as I see that word "cast" there. Peter was a fisherman. So what would he do? He would, in his earlier days, he would go out in the boat in the lake. He would take that net, and he would grab it up, and then he would cast it out into the sea. I'm imagining he's thinking of that now, that we can bundle up our cares, our worries, and our anxieties, and cast them, throw them onto God, because He cares for us. And then another is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where there the prophet Isaiah is commending us to the peace that's found in God when he says, "You, Lord, You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is set upon You, is focused upon You." So we can be comforted then today by our cherished memories of Him, by the comfort and fellowship of one another, but then also from the comfort that comes from God when we cast our anxieties and cares upon Him and focus our minds upon Him, that therein lies peace. We can do this too, knowing that God is a faithful God, that he will do all that he has said and all that he has promised, that his word is rock solid, and that great is his faithfulness, and that each day, every day, is a new day in which God can show and prove his goodness and faithfulness to us. So we want to close our service here. Our closing hymn is going to be hymn number 43. Hymn number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Please stand as we sing all three verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would grant your strength, your sustaining strength to our grieving hearts. And I ask that your powerful Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would give us peace. We thank you for Hal and for his life. And we thank you for the wonderful service that he leaves behind, the legacy of generosity and love that he leaves behind. May we all be comforted by our memories of Hal, and also be comforted by the hope of eternal life, which is found in Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be gracious to us today and all the days of our lives. And I ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This now concludes our service, and on behalf of the Grimes family, I'd like to thank you all for coming here today. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father
The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.